Faith podcast for September 2015. I'm your host, Jonathan Buchan, and today we are going to talk about something that I think people wish we talk about more at a site called Cinema Faith, and that is Christian movies. That's right. We are going to tackle this topic of Christian movies. We're going to discuss why we don't talk about them a lot around here, whether or not they're headed in the right direction, and then we are going to see what the latest one is like. That's right. I have seen War Room, and I will be offering my take on that as well. So we got a lot to cover. Let's get started. So as I mentioned, people, I think, expect us to talk about Christian movies more at Cinema Faith. It's in our name, Faith. It's what people think we're about. I talk about the website a lot to people, and the first thing they ask is, oh, you know, so you do Christian movies then? And I try to explain that we're more focused on Hollywood films, just regular films that come out, and there's always that kind of puzzled expression. They don't seem to understand why we're called Cinema Faith if we're not tackling Christian movies. So I guess that, you know, this is actually the first one we've reviewed, I believe, War Room, and we've not tackled a straight-up Christian movie before, and so people wonder why, and it's a good question, and it's worth talking about. So I just want to say up front that, yeah, I'm not against the idea of a movie talking about Jesus explicitly, not at all. I love Jesus. I talk about him all the time on Cinema Faith. Everybody who writes for us does. We love this idea of talking about these topics and delving into biblical truth, and there are movies that have done this well. I mean, you're talking to a guy here who grew up watching The Buttercream Gang, McGee and Me. All right. I mean, I'm down with it. And by the way, McGee and Me has not aged as badly as you think. I have boys now, and I have shown them 'Twas the Fight Before Christmas and other gems, and those are not bad flicks. So I think that show is ahead of its time. But anyway, so the idea of a movie or a TV show talking about Jesus, talking about the things and the way of God, is totally cool. And there have been movies that have done that. I think of The Apostle. It's probably a standout one in that bunch. Dead Man Walking, Tree of Life, Calvary recently, I think, did it really well. And these are great movies, they're great stories, and they work. And they work in a way that's more explicit than your average Hollywood movie, and I applaud that. I think it's great. What bothers me about this term Christian movie is there's a lot of baggage with it. There's this sort of, I call it militant, I guess, movement surrounding these movies where the audience is very passionate and they have this mentality of wanting to storm the theaters and take back cinema for Jesus and put a stake in the ground, and it becomes just this very heavy, in-your-face movement. When War Room came out, I saw these Facebook posts where people were like, I'm going to see it Monday, I'm seeing it Tuesday, I'm seeing it Wednesday, I'm seeing it Thursday. We are going to tell Hollywood that this is what we want. We are going to take back the theaters for God. And I don't know why that rubs me the wrong way. It just feels like a losing battle. It's this sort of Christ against culture mentality that I think is not biblical, and it's more destructive than helpful. And I don't know if it's the actual intention of the filmmakers. It seems to be more on the audience. And so that's a problem. But the thing is that regardless of the intention, it's a problem because most Christian movies just aren't very good movies. So if your goal is to actually take back the theaters for Jesus, to draw a bunch of people in and make unbelievers curious about what you're talking about and bring in the uninitiated, well, your first step is you got to make a really good movie. And that's where a lot of Christian movies have fallen short. You've got bad acting most of the time, bad stories, a history of bad production values, and a lot of Christian movies aren't even movies. They're basically sermons. They're 2-hour sermons. A good movie has to have a really good story. You can't stop for 20 minutes in the middle of it and walk through the Romans Road with people. That's not cinematic. And so to make a good movie, you have to understand what works as a movie, what makes a good film. And I think a lot of Christian movies have fallen short of that because too many Christian movies have had an agenda from minute one. You know exactly what they're trying to get you to do, and it's a turnoff. And I think it's not just because they're talking about Jesus. I mean, this is a turnoff in any way this shows up. Like, I mean, you can have a super, you know, liberal political documentary or a super conservative documentary, and you just know from the minute that it shows up exactly where they're coming from, and they're beating you over the head with like these manipulative tactics, and no one wants to sit through that. We just want to go and get some popcorn and be transported into another world and follow a character on a journey. We don't want to be told what to believe and told that we need to convert right now or we're going to hell, or vote for this person or what have you. And and to prove that I am not just having this vendetta solely against Christian movies, I'd like to point out the example recently that I think this shows up in a completely secular work, which is Derek on Netflix. So Ricky Gervais, you know, I love Ricky Gervais. I think The British Office and Extras are two of the best shows of all time, but I do not like Derek. This is a show where he plays this mentally challenged guy in a nursing home, and it like still follows that office documentary format, and they're in the nursing home, and Derek is just represented as this saint on earth. You know, he's kind, and he's and there's nothing wrong with that, but the way they do it is so overdone and so in your face. Like, everybody is on camera talking about how great Derek is. Like, 90% of the show is talking about how great Derek is, and Derek has these, like, just really forced moments, and the music just, like, just gut-wrenches you into, this is the moment where you will start crying right now, and you just are like, no, I don't feel anything, because you're trying to force me to feel something, or force me to think something, and I don't naturally feel it. And so that's a completely secular example, but this is where Christian movies a lot of the times fall as well. So that's a problem, and frankly, if you want to take back Hollywood for Jesus, just make a good movie. We got to stop this persecution complex. I mean, so Kirk Cameron comes out with Saving Christmas, and it gets blasted by the critics, okay? Sorry, it's just they didn't like it. They think it's a bad movie. I haven't seen it. I can't tell you 100% if it is or not, but it got bad reviews. Well, Kirk Cameron thought that they were, you know, this is liberal Hollywood bashing his movie, and he got offended, and he told all of his followers to, quote, storm the gates of Rotten Tomatoes. So he had all of them all come and write really positive user reviews so that the user reviews were like 94%, while the regular critic reviews were like 12%. And he thinks that that was like a victory because he posted a picture of it on his Facebook page. And I'm sorry, like, that is just, that's the totally wrong approach. If you want to, quote, storm the gates of Rotten Tomatoes, it's really simple. Make a great movie. Like, there's no hidden agenda. The critics are judging based on your film's worth as a movie. That's it. So make a good movie and you'll get good reviews. And guess what? You've just won Rotten Tomatoes. You've stormed the gates and done what you want to do. That's all it takes. And there have been movies that have talked about Jesus openly that have gotten good reviews. The Apostle, I believe, is at like a 80 or 90%. Dead Man Walking, high 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. You do not... there's nothing against Jesus here. There's no persecution going on. This is simply good movies versus bad movies, and we just need to stop it. We really do. So that's where we're coming from at Cinema Faith. You know, first and foremost, we want to talk about good movies here because we're passionate about film. We believe that it's a good passion to have, that God has given us this passion. We want to praise really good art because God is an artist. If you don't think God's an artist, go outside right now and just breathe in creation for 5 minutes. God made all of that. He made the heavens and the stars and the moon and the sun. He is the most creative artist that has ever existed. And he's given us a bit of that artistic creativity in us, in the image that we bear. And so we love good art because God is an artist. And we want to praise that when we see it. And here's the thing. Art and truth are not like these mutually exclusive concepts. They flow into each other. They're symbiotic. They go hand in hand, right? So I believe this. A really, truly good story, a really good movie will have truth flowing from it naturally. So the focus shouldn't be on, you know, starting out with, this is the truth we want to convey, this is what we want to convince people of. The focus should be on crafting a really great story. And out of that will come your truth. I promise, because there are people who don't care about God in Hollywood who are making movies that have more truth than your average Christian movie because it's actually effective. Like, it's wrapped in a package that actually works, that actually conveys the point deep in the audience's heart. Whereas in Christian films, they have a great message, they have great intentions, but the truth gets suffocated by bad art. So we just believe that you don't have to only watch Christian movies and only review Christian movies to find truth. We find it in most of the movies we watch, which is why at Cinema Faith, we are on average are reviewing Hollywood films, and because we see truth in just overflowing in those movies because they're great art. So that's where we're coming from on this subject. The problem is that people don't really get it. They don't. They get mad when we're critical of Christian movies. We made a reference to cheesy Christian movies, quote unquote, in a post a few weeks ago on Facebook. And that day that that post came out, like, a few people unliked our page, right? And maybe that's a total coincidence, had nothing to do with that, but I don't think so. I think this really offends people. Like, people think, like, we're a Christian movie website, we should be supporting other Christians. That's what we should be doing. And the fact that we seem to be more supportive of Hollywood than other Christians means that we're selling out or we're worldly. And I just would challenge that as not being a very biblical notion. Because in the Bible, I think we see something where Christians are actually called to be more critical of their own than the world. Like, that's a biblical notion that finds its way throughout a lot of scripture. If you want the point blank version, go to 1 Corinthians 5:12. It says right there, clear as day, "What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside?" That's Paul. The Apostle Paul, "What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside?" But moving on beyond just one verse, I think this really is exemplified in Jesus. You will not find one time when Jesus just flips out at a sinner, you know, just a completely unbelieving sinner. You will not find it where he gets super angry at someone because they're a sinner, because they're wallowing in sin. And it's not like he didn't have material, okay? This guy was doing ministry in ancient Rome. I mean, he could have gone off his rocker on Caesar and the gladiator games and all these orgies that were going on behind closed doors, but we have no record of that. The only time that Jesus gets really upset seems to be at Pharisees, at the religious leaders, the people who were leading his people, the Jews. That's when Jesus gets upset. Not at the world, not at the sinners all around him, but at his own people, the Pharisees and the Jews. Why? I think it's because they should know better. They are the ones who are supposed to have the light. They're supposed to have the knowledge. They're supposed to have the truth. And yet, here they are, and they don't. And this is troubling to me because it's like, it seems so obvious in scripture, but yet, like, what do you see on Facebook and social media? It's like 90% of the time, it's Christians just going off about how evil the world is. Night and day, just like that presidential candidate and those liberals and this and that. And it's just like constantly berating the world when what we see in Jesus and what we see in scripture is that we're not supposed to judge the world. God will take care of that. We're supposed to judge those inside the church. It reminds me of a quote where it says, why judge the dark for being dark? Why not judge the light for not being as bright as it could be? So, like, what we're saying is, yeah, we're harsh on Christian movies, like more harsh on Christian movies than on Hollywood films. It's true, okay? But it's because Christians should know better. Like, we follow Jesus, and Jesus was the most amazing storyteller that ever lived. Like, go read the Gospels and read Jesus' stories. They're just incredible. They're universal. They speak to us deep down, like in our deepest places. And they work so effectively, and they're so simple. Like the parable of the prodigal son. This is such a simple story about this son who wants his father's inheritance. He doesn't want to work for his dad anymore, so he takes all of his money that's due to him, and he goes off and he squanders it and completely winds up broke and flat on his face, comes home expecting his dad to tell him, I told you so, and make him a slave, and instead his dad throws him a party. What a great story. Like, no one will not appreciate that story. You know, there's so many parables. The unmerciful servant, where this guy is forgiven this amazing, crazy debt, and then he goes and, like, flips out over this guy who owes him a couple pennies, and then the king finds out and throws him in jail, and he gets what's coming to him. There's the lost sheep, this little vignette of this shepherd who one little sheep gets away, and he abandons the rest of the flock, leaves them there, doesn't abandon them, but just leaves them there, and he goes and he searches for that one sheep that got away. These little snapshots. And I think that's telling right there, right? It's not, as Christians so often when they're telling a story, they have to include everything. We have to shoot for the moon. We have to have that moment where the character falls on his knees and gives his life to Jesus so that we can show the audience that this is what you're supposed to be doing. But God chooses, when he tells stories, to just focus on one simple little truth. And it's not the whole thing. It's just one layer of it. And it's all pointing to something bigger. And I think that we should learn something about that when we make our movies. Like, that works really well in film. Don't try to tell about everything. Just don't try to unpack everything. Just tell one little slice of truth and let the preachers on Sunday morning, like, fill in the details, right? Just like movies, Christian filmmakers should be making these movies like The Prodigal Son, you know, just a great story that resonates with us. And then a preacher on Sunday can be like, hey, did you see that awesome movie that came out last Friday? Well, let me tell you about how this fits in with this, with the gospel, about how this points to this Jesus who came to save us. You know, let Sunday be the day where we, like, fill in expository preaching for 2 hours, not in your movie. Just show a simple story in the movie. And that's the difference right there between good art and bad art. And that's what we are longing for at Cinema Faith, because we think we serve a God who just made great art, who knew how to tell a story, and we think that Christians can do better than what they're doing. We think that we can follow in Jesus' footsteps and tell really great stories, and we care because Christians are representatives of God on earth. We are presenting who God is and the message of the kingdom, so we need to do it well. And we need to do it in a way that honors the artist that we serve in God. So that's it. That's where we're coming from with Christian movies. Again, we're not against the idea of them, maybe that label, but just the examples that have come out in recent years, that is what we have risen up against, because we don't think that they fully honor the message that they are delivering. So that leads us to this question. Are Christian movies getting better? We've seen a lot more of them in recent years. Are we on a better path? Are we moving towards a better trajectory? That's the question. That's something I've been wondering lately. And to be totally honest, I don't know the answer because I stopped watching them quite a while ago. I was burned by so many times by like just really bad Christian art that I just got turned off to the whole thing. I got turned off to the movement behind it, the label of it. There was so much baggage surrounding these movies. It just became a huge turnoff for me. And that maybe I'm wrong for that. I probably am because I know I've been critical of them. And it's not fair, you know, to be critical of something that you're not familiar with, that you haven't invested time into. So I don't think I've been giving them a fair shot because I haven't been watching them. So I thought it's time to revisit Christian movies. Let's clear your mind and go see War Room. That was my idea. So this is the latest example of a Christian movie that's come out in theaters, War Room. And I really wanted to treat it like I would any other movie. So I went to the theater. I bought my ticket, sat in my seat, got popcorn, and I really tried to have a completely open mind, just clearing myself of any bias I was bringing to the table, and just treating this like any Friday night in the movies, just wanting to be taken away to a great story, and that's what I did. And I saw War Room, and here's what I thought about. War Room is about a married couple. Their marriage is on the rocks. This husband and wife, they're not paying much attention to their daughter. They're not paying much attention to each other. The husband's this salesman guy. He goes around the country. He's gone a lot. That leaves the door open to some womanizing. He's flirtatious. He's good at his job. He makes a lot of money. They're both kind of full of themselves, and nothing's clicking in this household. So the wife, Elizabeth, she's this real estate agent, and she goes to sell the house for this elderly lady, and she meets her, and her name is Miss Clara. And Miss Clara is this older woman who is kind of quirky, and she has this prayer closet upstairs. It's a favorite room in her house, and she calls it her war room. Because that is where she prays every day to God, and sort of strategizes these prayers to do her. It's like she's doing her fighting through prayer in this war room, this prayer closet. And so she teaches Elizabeth to come up with her own prayer closet back home, and to really make time for prayer, and taking all of their problems that she sees with her family into this war room prayer closet, and we begin to see that the prayers start working, and there's transformation that takes place, and this whole family sort of changes around, and the prayer makes a difference. So that's basically what War Room is about. So let's talk about the positives. I was encouraged because this movie has a really racially diverse cast. That's really cool. I think the history of Christian movies, like there's been a lot of white guys are coming to save the day. And I think that it's fantastic that the leads in this movie were African Americans. Miss Clara was, Elizabeth and her husband Tony were. But you also had white people as well show up, and they were present too. So it had a really nice a mix of races, and I think that's really, really cool. I appreciated that. The acting, by and large, was really good. There really weren't. I wouldn't call any bad performances in it, which is really saying something for a Christian movie. I mean, there's always at least one just really awful performance in the ones I've seen. But no, the acting was great across the board. There weren't any false notes. Everyone played their characters well. I felt like they were. There were real people. I connected with them. The acting was impressive. And the production values were solid from just a purely technical standpoint. I think it looked like your average movie, and that was cool. So they were obviously shooting on high def cameras. It was competently edited and put together, and it just worked from a production value standpoint. It could stand alongside any other Hollywood movie, so that was awesome as well. So in those ways, I think you have to be able to admit that Christian movies have gotten a lot better. I mean, if you look at older Christian movies, they did not have a solid foundation in those departments. You're talking horrendous acting, horrible production values, and just on and on and on, right? I mean, so at least we're finally at a place where we have a foundation. We have competent filmmakers who can put together a movie that looks like a movie. So I think that's great. Bravo on that. But there were some problems. There were. So I mentioned diversity. We had diversity of races. I would say there was not a lot of socioeconomic diversity. It's kind of curious in that, like everybody in this movie is basically upper middle class. Like, everyone. And I don't know. That just feels off to me, right? Like, we don't want to like present the example that we're Christians and, you know, we believe in Jesus and he helps us like have this really nice cushy life with all the perks. I mean, it's definitely not the message we want to be coming across. So it's just really weird that like, everyone in this movie has a really nice house and is like above average on the socioeconomic scale. That could be nitpicky of me. It's just something I noticed. But the greater problem with War Room is this. It feels like it takes part in this alternate universe, like this bubble. The film to me, like Christianity, how it's presented in War Room, it feels like fake church. You know, like it feels like when you walk into that church that you ever, everybody's smiling and you shake their hand and they ask, how you doing? And you say, I'm doing great. And you smile back and we sing songs. And we shake hands again, and we smile some more, and then we all go home. This fake church that's kind of infected Protestant America, that's how Christianity is presented to me in War Room, and that's what it felt like. And I think that the problem starts with the way the mature Christians are presented in the movie. They've got this thing figured out, right? It's this sort of, I've figured it out vibe. Miss Clara, she's had problems in her past that she admits to, but then she learned how to pray right, and basically she's got it. She's got it down, and now she's telling others how they can figure this thing out too, that she, you know, she's passing on the secret, and then when they get it, then their whole life is changed around, and they've got it, and they can tell other people, and it's like we're all getting to this place where we've arrived. Cue the Toby Mac song, end credits, boom. That's what's going on here. And I don't like that. I just don't think that. I think that's false. There's problems presented. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, they're not shy about sin. And I think that's cool because that's another thing that older Christian movies fell short in, is that they were really hesitant to actually talk about sin at any length. I mean, you have a marriage that's seriously falling apart. You have a guy who's flirting with adultery, right? But those are the bad Christians, you know, I mean, they're clearly presented as the ones who are struggling, but the good Christians, they don't feel real because they basically don't struggle all that much. Like, we don't see them struggling with sin at all. They feel like these like super Christians who've arrived and are now able to help all these strugglers that are lagging behind. So, like, for instance, okay, so Elizabeth's this real estate agent, right? And so she's talking to Miss Claire about selling her house. And so they're sitting at this dining room table. I mean, they like these people have just met. They met the previous day for like 20 minutes. And now she's back the next morning and she's walking through the sales figures. But Miss Claire doesn't want to talk about the house. She just wants to talk about Elizabeth's personal life. And she keeps prodding her and is like, so what about your husband? And, you know, what about this and what about that? And Elizabeth's like, well, I think we should talk about your house. But Miss Claire's like, no, I want to talk about what's really going on. How often do you go to church? What's your relationship with God like? And Elizabeth's like, I don't feel comfortable, you know, talking about that. And Miss Claire's basically like, you know, God doesn't like a lukewarm Christian. And then she goes and she makes Elizabeth a cup of coffee. And she gives Elizabeth a lukewarm cup of coffee. And Elizabeth tastes it and is like, oh, gross, this is lukewarm. And then Clara sips hers and she's like, oh, mine's piping hot. You know, and I get it. You know, she's making an analogy. But like, again, they've like just met. She's prodding into her life, and then she's like making this example that's like, it feels like shaming to me. Like, she's shaming her. And I know that she's doing it, you know, you can say she's doing it out of love, but like, wow. wow. And but it just comes across as condescending. Like Miss Claire is clearly, she gave herself a hot cup of coffee because she's on fire for God. This lady's clearly struggling, so she gets the lukewarm cup of coffee because she needs to learn a lesson and she needs to get hot like me. That's like where Miss Claire is coming from, and she's doing it in a nice way, and she's doing it in, you know, but that's where I struggle with this. And because when we become Christians, I don't think we have it all figured out. Now maybe you do, maybe I'm the only one who doesn't, right? That's possible. But in my experience with Christianity, life gets harder when you become a Christian. Like, there's more battles. There's more struggles. We're not really in a place to just sit down with a stranger and basically call them out right off the bat about their bad relationship with God and then give them a few secrets to success. Like, that's not Christianity in my experience. It's like we've fused the American dream with the gospel. You know, like, do this, do that, and you too can be successful. I pulled myself up from my own bootstraps spiritually, and you can too. And if you don't do that, then you're just lazy. So get up off your butt and go live for Jesus like I did. And come on, what are you waiting for? Let's do this thing. Yeah, that's what this feels like to me. If we look at Jesus, he had relationships with people, like really genuine relationships. We see this throughout the Gospels. He went to people's houses. He didn't have them over to his house. He went to their house on their turf, sat at their table. And in this Jewish culture, you would sit there for hours and hours eating and talking and listening. You know, I think Jesus was a really good listener. I don't think he just went and told everyone what to believe and what to think. I think he listened to people and he earned the right to speak truth into their life. And yeah, he pointed them to God. And yeah, he might have been able to say, this is the right thing and you should do this. But I mean, after all, he was God, okay? But we're not God. And we're sinners and we got problems. And we need to be humble about that. And I think Jesus exemplifies that humility. And church has become, you know, just in the whole Protestant sphere of things, it's become this really fake environment. And I think that's why people are leaving at a really high rate, because this whole mentality of, you know, come into church with your problems. You come on in, tell us all the nitty-gritty details, and then we're going to fix you. That's what it is. Come in with your sin, and then we will fix you and get you right, and you too will become a smiling zombie like us. Like, that's what church has become. And that's not what Christianity is about. It's just not. One of Tony's friends in the movie, so Tony's the husband in the struggling marriage, he gets into kind of a fight with one of the mature Christian friends of his, and they're because the Christian dude is basically saying, you know, you don't give up on your marriage, and whatever, which is great, and but then the Tony, he gets upset and he goes to leave and he's like, I'll see you in church, and then Tony's Christian friend says, I'd like to see the church in you, bro. He shouts that across the gym. I'd like to see the church in you, bro. That's what he says. So, yeah, I don't like that line. I think it's cheesy, and I think that it's just condescending. Again, it's like this whole thing of, I figured this thing out. You're struggling. Why are you struggling? Like, come on, man. Get it together. Slap you across the head. Figure this thing out. You can do it. And that's a symptom of the church these days. And I think it leaks into the movie. I go to this group on Tuesday nights, and we all show up at this place, and we're struggling with stuff, deep stuff, that we're coming and we're seeking healing for. And there is no pretension in this group that I'm a part of. And it's so refreshing. I just started doing this like a few weeks ago, and I've never experienced anything like this before. We come into this place, and you can say anything that's on your heart. I mean, you can just be like totally 100% real. We go around the circle, and they ask like how your week was, and there is no fake answers around that circle. It's no one just says, "Oh, I'm doing fine, thanks." Like, everyone is like, just says it like it is, pouring out their heart, and it's incredible. It really is. And then we end by all gathering around this big wooden cross, and we touch the cross together, and that's Christianity to me. Like, there is no one who is better than anyone around that circle. There is no one who's figured it out more than anyone else around the circle. Like, we are all one around the cross of Jesus. God is the one who's got the answers, not us. And there's such humility there, and it is so refreshing to be able to be yourself. And in a lot of churches in America, you cannot be yourself. You have to put on that smile. You have to fit in, because if you say what's really going on, you will be looked down on as someone who didn't figure it out like everyone else. And that's wrong. That's wrong. So I think we need to be more like the group I'm going to, which I'm so privileged. I'm just so grateful that I can go to that. Just gathering around the cross together as one. So that's a huge problem that I see with War Room. And beyond that, the execution of the film just feels really off to me. I was talking about the production values. The movie looks right. It looks right, but it doesn't feel right. There's a lot of jokes in the movie, like a lot, and hardly any of them work, like honestly. And I'm not trying to be nitpicky here. Like, I'm just saying the jokes do not make you laugh at all. Like, no one in the theater was laughing. It wasn't a packed theater I was in, but I mean, there was a handful of people, and like, no one laughed at the jokes. There were a couple of them that worked. There were a couple of them that I genuinely laughed at, but most of them don't. And the arrival of them is so forced. Like, the minute that, like, they'll have a whole scene that's supposed to be a funny scene, and like, you can tell because there's like this joking sort of like plucking of the guitar, you know, dun 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 dun. And it's like supposed to, you know, announce that this is a funny scene, but it's not funny, and it, like, it's kind of painful, it's like awkward. And so the execution, and it's not just the jokes, it's everything. It's like the scenes just don't work. They, like, fundamentally, they aren't put together right. A lot of people cry in this movie, a lot, which is fine, but none of them made me a part of that pain. Like, you're the biggest crier at movies. Like, you have no idea. I was at Everest a couple weeks ago, and I didn't even love that movie. Like, that movie was flawed as well. But like, the minute someone gets on the phone with their wife back home and starts crying, I'm done. I'm crying. Cause it's just done right. They do it in a way that, like, you feel the emotion, but you don't. I didn't feel that in War Room. I didn't, because the execution just wasn't there. And this is my theory about this, and I could be totally wrong, okay? Granted, I could be totally off on this, but my speculative idea of why this is because I feel like Christian filmmakers, by and large, are not passionate about movies. They're passionate about their message, they're passionate about God, but they're like using medium to advance a cause rather than doing it out of pure love for film. I've read interviews with the Kendrick brothers who made War Room, and they that they basically admitted as much. I mean, I guess I've never read anything that would let me to believe anyway that they love film. The story is basically that they were attending their church, they were actively involved in this big church, and they saw movies as a way that like they were getting bad press, and they were like, well, here's a way where we could, you know, spread the gospel in a new way. And so they just like picked up a camera and started, you know, filming movies, and they didn't know what they were doing. They admit that, and they admit that they've been getting better and better as they've been going along, you know, what have you. And I just don't think that is the way to make quality art, because to make a really good movie, you have to be a student of film. You know, you have to be someone who grew up watching great movies, who has seen Raiders of the Lost Ark 1,001 times because it's amazing and because you love it. And you begin to understand when you watch great movies what makes a movie great, what makes a scene work, why this line needs to be delivered like this, and why placing the camera here works better than placing the camera there. It's a technical thing. And that's what I think the problem is with the Kindred brothers and other Christian filmmakers. It's like, that did they grow up loving movies? And again, it's pure speculation, but I just don't know how else to account for the fact that the movie doesn't feel like any other movie, like any movie you would go to right now in the theaters. War Room feels completely different than those movies. And it's not about content. I'm not just saying it's because they're talking about Jesus or they're not swearing. Like, there's plenty of movies that are G-rated movies that from a content perspective are similar, but they work. They like just are fundamentally put together in a way that sucks you in and you go along for a ride. And you're glued and you want to know what happens next. And, you know, when I was watching War Room, it's just happening on screen. I don't feel like I'm in it. It's just, there's like a distance between me and the film. And that's the only thing I can think, is that it's just, there's something off in the fact that they're not, you know, like most Christians. I mean, you have this sort of, a lot of Christians have this mentality of, well, Hollywood is worldly, and so I'm going to need to guard my mind and need to guard what I watch, so I'm not going to watch, you know, the movies that come out. But then you're missing out on becoming a student of those movies, on understanding like what actually is happening in the world of film and how these movies are effective and how those aren't effective, and learning from that. And that's what you get from kind of a sort of ghettoized Christianity that kind of places us against the world and kind of retreating into a bubble. This again, going back to this bubble mentality, where, you know, we have our own movies and our own music and our own everything. And, you know, here we are in this sort of like bubble of Christian fluff. And I just don't see that in the life of Jesus. I see a Jesus who was like doing ministry at the intersection of the world. Like, if you look at geographically where Jesus did ministry, it was like at the center point of like all of these trade routes, where like the entire world was coming. Jesus was right there, smack dab in the middle of it all, doing ministry and telling stories. And it's not, wasn't about a bubble. It wasn't about doing his own thing in this like secret room and, you know, shutting the world out. That's not how Jesus operated, and it's not how we should either. And not everyone liked what Jesus had to say, and not everyone's gonna like what we had to say in our Christian movies. If we're making movies that are explicit about truth, yeah, people aren't gonna like the final message. Right? And some people might passionately dislike what we say, but like, let them be passionate at least. Let's at least suck them into a good story so they get to the end of it and they're like, man, okay, but I don't agree with that. Fine, but like, let's get their pulse up a little bit and let's get them engaged, you know? That's the thing. I didn't hate War Room, but I didn't love it. It was just like happening there in front of me. And if the intention of this whole thing is to really take back the theaters for Jesus and draw in all those unbelieving crowds and put a stake in the ground in that whole thing, then we got to do better than that, okay? You've got to make better movies. Now, if the intention is just to make movies for Christians, if that's the goal, well, then great. I think you're doing that and it's working. But then I would ask the question, is that healthy? Is that what Jesus has called us to, is to have our own little world of movies and our own world of Christian music and everything else? I don't think so. I think we're supposed to get our hands dirty, and we're supposed to be at that intersection that Jesus was. We're supposed to be in the darkness, pointing people to the light. So I don't see positives on either one of those scenarios. If it's a movie for non-Christians, it's not working. And if it's a movie for Christians, it's working, but it's harmful. So, let's get back to the question at hand. Are Christian movies getting better? Yes, I would say so. I would. From a purely technical track, yes, we've come a long way. And praise God for that. That's awesome. But we've got a long way to go. We need better Christian characters who struggle like every one of us struggle. Christian or not, we're struggling. We have deep pain. We have wounds in our past that hurt us, and we are using sin to cope with those things, and we need to be set free from that, okay? We need better Christian characters who admit openly that they're not perfect, and we see all the ways they're not perfect. I wrote an article about Calvary and talking about Christian movies in Calvary, and I said that, Christians aren't Christians because they're perfect. We're Christians because we know Jesus and his grace has set us free. That's what it's about. It's not about perfection. And we need to stop thinking that when we're writing a Christian character that they have to be perfect or else we're compromising. They have to be like Jesus or else then, we're missing it. No. We need to stop with the perfect Christian characters because they're fake. And people can see they're fake a million miles away. And it's hurting the message, and it's keeping people away, and people don't, they know it's fake. And we need to understand what makes a movie good. We need Christians who are like knee deep in the film industry, who love movies, who are passionate about film, movie buffs with cameras who love Jesus. That's what we need right there. Movie buffs with cameras who love Jesus. We need a lot more of that. Now, to end on a positive note, let me just say this. I'm encouraged. I am encouraged by the future of Christian movies because I think better times are coming. I do. I read an amazing article, interview from Relevant Magazine with David Aiello. Now, here's a guy who was nominated for an Oscar last year for Selma, and this guy apparently is crazy in love with Jesus. I mean, like, apparently he's known in this for Hollywood. Like, you start talking to him, he's going to start talking about Jesus. That's awesome, right? But he's a guy who's respected in Hollywood because he's a really good actor, and he has chosen good roles, and he plays them well, and he is making and being a part of really good movies. And, so you have this guy who's, like, respected by Brad Pitt and, like, has, is right there connected with it all, and that guy's going to write a movie someday, or he's going to direct a movie someday. It's inevitable. That's where most actors end up getting. And I love that because this guy gets it. He was talking in this interview about how a lot of Christian movies have become sort of Sunday morning pageants that, like, pretty much would only be accepted in sort of this church circle, just like something like a play you would put on a Sunday morning. That's what Christian movies have become. But then he talks on the other side of the spectrum that a lot of Hollywood movies have glorified violence and sort of wallowed in darkness. So he wants to make something and be a part of movies that that avoid both of those extremes and make movies that aren't just for church people, but that zero in on redemption, like Selma last year, which was, like, it was so great. So that's really encouraging to me, that there are people out there who get it. And I don't think he's the only one. I think there's more like him. I really do. I believe that Christians are being called throughout the industry. And there are Christians out there who love Jesus, who love film, and who want to present God in a different way than the way that movies like War Room are presenting it. And who are paying respect to his creativity and his wonder and the way that he told stories, the way he did ministry. They're out there, and they're going to do it. It's only a matter of time. I believe it. So get ready, people. because it's coming. So I hope that gives you a better idea of where we're coming from at Cinema Faith with the Christian movies. And again, we are not against movies that talk about Jesus, so far from it. We just want them to do it well. And so far, movies with this Christian label, quote-unquote, have not been doing it well. And unfortunately, with War Room, though it's an impressive step forward in technical filmmaking, again, I think it's locked in this bubble, and we want that bubble to burst because we want a different kind of Christian movie. Movies like Calvary, movies like The Apostle, like The Tree of Life, that dive into biblical truth. They talk about Jesus in a way that is open and true, but they're engaging, and they're interesting, and they've got complex characters. They're good movies. So I just say, come on, Christian filmmakers, let's do this, right? If you love Jesus and you love movies, get cracking. Get Final Draft out and start writing, screenwriters. Pull out that camera, filmmakers, and start filming. Get to work. We need you. And Cinema Faith, we will write about you. We will be excited about you. That is our pledge. All right? So, and you know, to the Kendrick brothers, I say, keep going. Like, we're not against you. Like, we are. We do support you. And we just want you to stretch yourself. Take a year off from making movies and watch the classics. You know, watch great movies. Learn what makes those films work. You got a huge audience. Get out there next time and blow their minds and take in some new people while you're at it that currently you're not reaching. So let's be encouraged, friends. We can do this, and I think we will. So there you have it. Thank you for listening, everyone. And as always, keep the faith, my friends. I will see you next time.